The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Now, let's talk about Leo first as he departs the scene. What is your take on Leo?
Well, look, first of all, Pat, as the Taoiseach himself said when he announced this shock resignation yesterday, politicians are human, and I do on a human level just want to wish him the very best for the future. Indeed, I did so personally yesterday, and I've written to him as well. And I think we were all taken aback by the speed and suddenness of the announcement. But I think it is important to acknowledge that as a human, he's taken a huge amount of toxic abuse, and that's absolutely unacceptable in politics. And I've no doubt that played a part in his decision. It was a surprise decision. And, you know, the reality is, as I said yesterday, Pat, it is notable that his coalition partners, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan, were also taken by surprise. Micheál Martin said, the Taoiseach said he was very surprised to hear on Tuesday night that the Taoiseach had taken this decision. It's undoubtedly destabilising, and it is undoubtedly inappropriate that the members of Fine Gael, rather than the people, should decide who will lead the country at a time of such immense challenge, particularly on housing, when we see 4,000 children in homelessness. So that's why we in Labour have called for a general election. Mm-hmm. We believe it's now appropriate for the Taoiseach not to go to the Oireachtas just to tender his resignation, as he's proposing to do, and I think on the 8th or 9th of April, but rather to go to the Oireachtas to seek a dissolution and to call a general election, because now is the time to do that. This government has clearly run out of focus, and it's run out of ambition, and it's run out of the commitment that's necessary to make the really radical changes on housing and on healthcare in particular that people need and that communities need. And that's why we've called for an election. It's nothing personal. And as I say, I only want to wish Leo the very best for the future. But it is the reality that we've never had three Taoiseach in the course of this, of a one government. And in particular, to see a Taoiseach proposing to step down and have a replacement appointed or anointed with less than a year to run, at the outside a year to run. And indeed, by the time the new Taoiseach would have taken office, they will really only have 9 or 10 months in which to make any sort of difference. And you know, this is rearranging deck chairs. What we need is a real change of purpose. The country has changed enormously in the 4 years since the February 2020 general election. And we need a new government, not a new Taoiseach, to address the real challenges
now,
that face.
Just to clarify, given your legal background, there is no constitutional imperative for this, you know, to change horses. I mean, it is allowable under the deal that's been cut by the three parties that they can do this.
It's constitutionally allowable, but what we're saying, and I think what's evident, is that there is a democratic imperative to do this. Certainly constitutionally, the Article 28 of the Constitution is very clear, Pat, that where the Taoiseach resigns from office, and I'm reading directly, the other members of the government shall be deemed also to have resigned from office. And that's perhaps been lost in the discussion where Leo speaks about resigning. His resignation triggers resignation of the entire government. The Taoiseach and other members of government shall continue to carry on their duties until their successors have been appointed. And as we know, there's a further provision in 28.11 that members of government in office at the date of a dissolution of the Dáil also continue to hold office until their successors have been appointed. Now, your listeners will recall that in 2020, it took some months to form a government. And of course, in the meantime, the COVID pandemic had erupted. So there were caretaker ministers in office for some time.
And indeed, when we had the switch, Just to clarify this constitutional issue again, when we had the switch between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, as one became Taoiseach and the other became Taoiseach, that effectively, presumably, was the same sort of thing that under the constitution, all the ministers in that cabinet would have been seen to have resigned. Is that so? But they stayed in place and then, you know, no one was going to rock that boat, so they all got their jobs back. But did they have to be sworn in again?
Well, look, you know, what we saw happen at that was in December 22. And of course, that was very different. That was a planned takeover that had been prearranged.
But the Constitution is the Constitution.
The Constitution is the Constitution. So what the Taoiseach, as I understand it, is proposing that something similar will happen here, that it'll be a very short period where you have caretaker ministers. In other words, that he'll go to the Oireachtas, he'll come straight back and there'll be a new Taoiseach then elected, presumably on that day, although we haven't yet been told. So the caretakers will only be caretakers for a short time. But the reality democratically, Pat, is that the new Taoiseach, who may or may not be sworn in, be elected by the Dáil on the 9th of April, that new Taoiseach will effectively still be only a temporary, or indeed in political terms, a caretaker Taoiseach, because they will have to have to call a general election by the end of February next year, at the very latest, because of the law that says that, you know, the government can only run for 5 years before an election is called. We know this day next year, I believe, is the last day on which an election can be held. But of course, the Dáil would have to be dissolved some weeks before that. So, you know, it is a very, very short space of time for any new Taoiseach to make their mark. And can I say this in terms of coalition politics and good governance? Good governance and coalition politics depends on a good relationship among those in leadership. And while, of course, you know, as Micheál Martin has said, this is a coalition of parties, not individuals. Nonetheless, he and Eamon Ryan both acknowledged how crucially important the relationship between the three leaders has been in ensuring stability.
But now you may have read that report in one of the newspapers this morning, suggesting that Eamon Ryan and Micheál Martin had insisted that this government goes its full term. In other words, they're not ready for a general election, and whoever takes over from Leo Varadkar and Fine Gael, they're looking for a commitment that it carries on to the 11th hour.
Well, I certainly saw that. But of course, again, the Constitution provides the powers with the Taoiseach as to when that call is made. So certainly the coalition leaders can look for that commitment. To me, it does not look like good governance that they're now seeking effectively conditions on their support for an incoming Taoiseach. And again, where's the stability? Where's the good governance? And also, where's the sense of focus on the real issues that matter to people, on the housing catastrophe, on the climate crisis, on healthcare? This is, you know, this is now going to consume the energy of government for the next few weeks, at the very least, at a time when they should be focused on
resolving. Ivana, just, you know, in your own party, when things were not going well, you switched leaders and you were the beneficiary of that. So when parties look at the polls and look how things are going, they tried to shake things up, as your party did with you.
Well, a very different scenario in that case, where Alan Kelly tendered his resignation. And of course, I was then chosen to replace him. Very, very different when we're talking about the Taoiseach of the country, Pat, and a constitutional role, and a resignation that, as I've said, triggers a great deal under the Constitution, but much more importantly, triggers a democratic imperative that we would see a change of government. I do believe it's time for this government to call time and to call a general election. And that's what the Taoiseach should have announced yesterday. Yep. And indeed, that's what many of us thought he was about to do, because, you know, it's a clear lack of ambition, a clear lack of urgency and lack of purpose now, as they're facing into what everyone knows is their last year in office.
Some of the text
very late in the day to change horses.
Bertie stepped aside for Brian Cahan, who then became Taoiseach. So what's new about this?
Well, as I said, we've already seen that changeover happen. It happened in December 2022. It was a planned changeover where we saw Micheál Martin stepping down for Leo Varadkar. So we've already had a change of Taoiseach. What's unprecedented is to have a third Taoiseach appointed within the lifetime of a government. What's unprecedented is that at a time of enormous challenge, with less than a year to run at best on this government, we see the members of Fine Gael and not the people deciding who's going to be.
Okay, Smithy in Swords has been on. He says, first the Sinners, now the Labour Party. I'm sorry, the people don't elect a Taoiseach. The government elects a leader. In other words, the Taoiseach. Well, it's pure disingenuous BS. There is no constitutional imperative. It's sheer grandstanding, so says Smithy in Swords.
Well, may I say this? It's in fact the members of Dáil Éireann who elect the Taoiseach. I mean, there'll be a vote in the Dáil. And clearly, if the government have the majority, then government members will win the vote. But what I have said very clearly, Pat, is there is a democratic imperative that the Constitution, as I said, sets out the formalities of what happens when the Taoiseach resigns. What we're saying, and not just for Labour, but across the opposition, what we're saying is that there is a democratic imperative on Fine Gael, on Leo Varadkar now, to call time on this government, because what we need to see is a real change of approach, a change of government, and a new energy and sense of purpose. And changing the person at the top of Fine Gael is not enough to change that.
The last question is, again, asking you to put your legal hat on, because you talked about Article 28. And I'm wondering, when, you know, Bertie resigned and Brian Cahan took over, when Leo stepped down and Micheál took over as Taoiseach and so on, if all the ministers of government were deemed to have resigned along with these Taoiseachs when they changed roles, should they not have been all re-sworn in?
Well, the successors are appointed immediately in those cases. And, you know, that's, I think, what is envisaged.
But do they have to run up to the Oras with their seal and just give it back to the president and get it back again? Or does that just not happen
out
of custom and practice? Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see, Pat, what happens on this occasion, because, again, we haven't been given the timeline for the reappointment. Now, it's anticipated that there'll be no change among, you know, there'll be no reshuffle for the other members of government. But one would anticipate whoever the new leader of Fine Gael is may wish to make changes, at least on that side of government. But look, that's a matter for Fine Gael. What we're saying now is...
I was wondering about the Constitution. Are people supposed to be, if they've, according to you, resigned once the Taoiseach resigns, have they lost their office and do they have to be re-sworn in?
Pat, it's according to the Constitution. The Taoiseach and other members, sorry, if the Taoiseach at any time resigns from office, the other members of the government shall be deemed also to have resigned from office. The Taoiseach and other members of government carry on their duties until their successors are appointed. Now, if the successors are the same people, do they have to go back up?
Exactly.
My recollection is they do go back up to the Oras, but it is, as I say, somewhat of a formality if it is indeed all done on the same day, which is what I think is now being proposed.
Okay.
What we want to see is a much bigger change, and that is the change that can only be brought about with the general election.
All right, Ivana, thank you very much for joining us. That's Ivana Bacik, leader of the Labour Party. Some of the texts coming in, I think it's funny that Ivana wants an election call. Labour are going to be all but wiped out in the next vote. Weak policies and weak candidates. They've lost touch with the common man, according to Owen in Port Leisha. Danny McConnell is editor of the Business Post, and he's listening to my conversation with Ivana. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am very well. What a political game is in play at the moment. How do you see all of this unfolding?
So I think, as we know, the Fine Gael party, this becomes now very much a Fine Gael party matter, because obviously it's now a matter of who replaces Leo Varadkar as the leader and president of Fine Gael. We've seen already this morning, Pat, what would strike me as a very coordinated campaign underway from supporters of Simon Harris. You, across local radio stations across the country, you've had people like Brendan Griffin, Regina Doherty, Mary Seary, Carney, Emer Higgins, all come out in favour of Simon Harris already. My thought already, there's about 12 Fine Gael parliamentary party members who've already come out backing Harris already, including Francis Fitzgerald, Maria Walsh, Barry Ward, etc. Neil Richmond is another, and Peter Burke. So he's certainly getting the mid-rank of the party behind him. It's akin almost to what Leo Varadkar did in 2017. He's getting his kind of guns and his supporters out front and centre very early. It's also very important to know that Helen McEntee in the last hour or so has ruled herself out of contention. She was seen as the sort of one of primary rivals or challengers to Simon Harris. So we're very much now, Pat, looking like we could be in a position that there may not be a contest at all. We're in a coronation territory because Simon Coveney has also ruled himself out. Pascal Donoghue has previously repeatedly ruled himself out of contention. Now, I think Pascal Donoghue is likely to come under some considerable pressure today to put his name in the ring. But I think, given, I think his stock within his own party is not that high, and I think he would risk losing to Simon Harris should a contest go ahead. The other person I think to watch out for is Jennifer Carroll McNeill. She has made no sort of bones about her ambitions, and she may come under pressure, similar pressure, if Pascal Donoghue doesn't stand to at least force a contest of some sort against Simon Harris. But at the moment, Simon Harris is the man to beat.
Now, the question is, what difference would a Simon Harris leadership make?
Well, that's the question for Fine Gael, because I think if you look back at the end of a Leo Varadkar tenure and you wonder, well, what did he stand for? What did Fine Gael under him actually stand for? You know, as Ivan Yates has made the point that, you know, they have gone and done the exact opposite of what you have expected of a Fine Gael party. They've increased the size of the state dramatically. They have burst every budget forecast that they would have been expected to adhere to. Their spending has gone up dramatically. Even, you know, just doing a tot overnight as well. You know, under Fine Gael's watch, since they've taken power in 2011, they've doubled or more than doubled the size of the national debt. So they've gone against their core, I suppose, traditional values of prudence, balance the budget, you know, keep your, you know, spend what you have, don't borrow, etc. like that. So I think there is a big question mark as to what a new leader will bring, what direction will it bring the party, or will that person bring the party in, and what will it stand for? The left and the centre-left in Irish politics is a very crowded space, as we know from the Dáil, the makeup of the Dáil. There is a very strong desire amongst the more traditional wing in Fine Gael to eke out some space on the centre-right, you know, articulating views for small businesses, you know, those, again, you know, I know it's much cliched, those who do get up early in the morning and work very, very hard, et cetera like that. So I think there will be some pressure on Simon Harris or whoever succeeds Leo Varadkar to articulate a more traditional Fine Gael view at a time when, I suppose, the party is perceived to have lost That connectivity with its traditional base. And when you have people like Sarah Carey, who is a dyed-in-the-wool Fine Gaeler, you know, has defended the party through thick and thin, coming out and writing a column saying that the party, you know, she didn't leave the party has left her, akin to what Lucinda Creighton said about the party in 2013 around the abortion issue. So Fine Gael really does have to reconnect with its base if it's going to stand a chance of I suppose, stopping the hemorrhage of seats at the next general election. So, Leo Varadkar, the more we think about this and we've allowed the shock of yesterday to kind of fade away and we're now distilling kind of what the landscape is for the new leader. I mean, you're facing into a very difficult local and European elections, a general election, which, you know, even though Fine Gael had a very bad day at the office in 2020, they're facing into the prospect of losing an awful lot of seats because there's an awful lot of TDs who are now not standing again, and incumbency is a key, I suppose, component of trying to keep your seats. So the new leader is going to have a very, very difficult task, and it's very hard to see how Fine Gael could genuinely put a proposal to the public about a fourth term in office. You would genuinely seem to think that the party's future lies in opposition, not in government. Yeah.
What do you think a new leader of Fine Gael, whoever it might be it Simon Harris or perhaps Pascal Donoghue, Heather Humphrey's name being thrown in there as a possible spoiler for Mary Lou MacDonald ever becoming the first woman, Taoiseach, if you already have had one in Heather Humphrey's, Helen McEntee having ruled herself out. What changes of direction would be credible? What could they do that would make them look different?
It's very hard to know, Pat, without, I suppose, hearing a kind of a manifesto from Simon Harris. And again, let's be very clear. This is Simon Harris, who was born and bred in North County Wicklow. He essentially is a Dublin candidate. You know, he's a metropolitan candidate. He's not of rural Ireland. He's not that traditional conservative stock. He's very much been on the liberal wing of the party. He's been an advocate for social change. He's led the abortion referendum campaign. So it'd be very hard, I think, for Simon Harris to all of a sudden become or try to become an authoritative voice about conservative values and traditional values in Fine Gael. I think what they do need to do, I think they certainly need to start talking to rural Ireland an awful lot more. I think, you know, people like Michael Ring and others have long articulated a frustration and a complaint. Yeah.
I heard Michael saying that, I think he was talking to Bobby on the business programme, you know, that there is no rural voice articulating his viewpoint around the cabinet table. Now, Heather Humphreys is one such voice, but the vast majority are, if you like, the urban sophisticates.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, a byproduct of what happened in 2016 when the mid-ranks of Fine Gael were eviscerated in that election when they lost 26 seats and they never recovered. So they literally have been pushed back into their heartlands to a certain degree. But there has been a constant complaint from within Fine Gael that the party leadership does not speak for them, does not address, you know, it does not represent them properly. Leo Varadkar, on a personal level, I think is well-liked. And I think, you know, a lot of people would have thrown their lot in with him because he promised electoral success for Fine Gael. He clearly has failed to deliver that at every election. You know, he's lost five or six by-elections. He's now lost the two referendums, and he obviously was defeated in the 2020 general election. So he, you know, his electoral record is woeful from a leadership perspective. So I think what they're looking in a new leader is someone who can, as I said, stop the hemorrhaging of seats, can, I suppose, consolidate what they have, and I suppose lead or set out a roadmap to how they grow again. And I clearly think, and there's a lot of people feeling the same way, that the future to growing the party again is take a breather, go into opposition and become that main party of opposition to a Sinn Féin-led government. That certainly is the feeling of amongst a lot of them.
Danny, I'll read you some of the texts which are interesting. I think Leo's look at the filthy underbelly of geopolitics while in Washington was the final straw for him. He was constrained in what he could say about Israel and Gaza, I feel. Perhaps his humanity forced him to resign. There will be people, because of his outspokenness on Gaza, people who will be well pleased that Leo's gone.
There certainly will be, and I think there's probably a fair amount of satisfaction amongst hardline Brexiteers in the UK who were no fans of Leo Varadkar. I'm sure there's plenty of people in the unionist community in the north who were no fans of Leo Varadkar would be glad to see him go. I think he made reference to that in his speech, in his resignation speech yesterday, that people, you know, there'd be plenty of people coping very fine with it, you know. They'll have no problem with him stepping down. I mean, it's natural enough that he was in politics and frontline politics and he was in the cabinet since 2011. You know, you're going to make enemies. You're going to annoy an awful lot of people. And I think his stance on Brexit, you know, didn't endear himself to either London at times or the North. And there are certainly people, I think, in the United States who did not take too kindly to his outspoken views on Gaza. You know, the issue of Israel and Gaza is a political hot potato in the United States. And obviously Joe Biden's hardline stance in terms of supporting Israel has come in for some criticism. Chuck Schumer's speech last week, where he obviously, as a noted Jew, he came out against Benjamin Netanyahu. That was seen as a kind of a possible opening to allow Joe Biden kind of change his stance on that. He hasn't. He's doubled down on his support for Israel. And I think there were a lot of hardline Republicans speaking to our colleagues, and Mary McKeown including one of them, you know, that they were not happy with the idea of a Taoiseach, given the special status that they get on St. Patrick's Day, coming over and essentially lecturing the United States president. That didn't go down particularly well. But I suppose you might think Leo Varadkar, knowing that this decision was coming, probably felt a bit freer to speak his mind that little bit further than he might have normally done so.
Daniel McConnell, editor of The Business Post, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.